Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another Focus podcast. I am your host, Singing Lisa. So glad that you're here with us. And of course, you know, we are highlighting very special individuals who are doing great things in the community and beyond. And so we have another special guest today as we focus on the Reminiscence series, and we are going to learn all about Dr. Ryan Estaris. Now, he is a medical doctor from LSU, which is Louisiana State University, an adjunct associate professor at Herzing University, an executive director and administrator of Canon Healthcare at the New Orleans location, as well as interim administrator at the North Shore location. Well, you already know after that, he has a lot going on, wearing a lot of hats. And so we're going to find out all about Dr. Ryan Estaris. So welcome, doctor. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you, Lisa. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm excited every time I get to meet a doctor. This has been the year of doctors for me with this pandemic and all that we're going through. So we do want to say that we hope that you're well and everyone that you know is safe. And I know that you take care of a lot of people. So we definitely want to learn about your experience with COVID-19. But let me ask you, what was your typical day like in your practice before you realized this is a pandemic?
So mine's a long story. So as an administrator, though, I'm doing more of the business side. And so, I started during the pandemic. And so it was a little more crazy where the quarantine, people have social distancing. There's a lot more need for healthcare. Taking over for somebody previously who was about to leave. And it was a big adjustment, definitely a big adjustment. So it was working all the time, 24/7.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, especially coming from the administrative side, you had decisions to make that you didn't know you had to make, really, because everything from everyone's experience has just been that it happened so quickly. It was so rapid. It was so unknown. And you just basically had to react to try to make the best decision. So what were some of the first things you started doing to try to adjust?
So first, I like this. I kind of consider myself a fireman because I'm putting out fires all the time. There's like fires everywhere. It just keeps on coming. When you have meetings, there's another meeting that just pops up. Probably the big thing is the COVID, creating some COVID policies, social distancing, work from home, remote work plans. And then on top of that, if we had the hurricane, tropical storms, we had to prepare for that. And how do you combine the COVID with the hurricane in the healthcare field?
Yeah, quite a lot. In your visiting the different areas that you manage, what were some of the comments or what was the atmosphere like when things were beginning?
So I think the unknown, fear of the unknown, uncertainty. So a lot of people want to be certain. They want to be secure. And we don't know a lot about the virus. We don't know what's going to happen, but being confident that you can work through it, that if there is something that happens and you found new information, that you react to it, that you work towards that new information to improve the situation. So, I mean, just let them know up front. I just say that, you know, this is something that's unknown, but we're working through this and then we'll make adjustments. We'll make changes to make that way we are heading in the right direction.
Yes. Now, did you have experience when it came to the shortage of some of the PPP supplies? I know that was a big deal. And what did you do to overcome that?
Yeah, so the prices of supplies went up. The scarcity of supplies were there. So we just need to tell everybody that it's important of making sure we're recording of who uses the PPE, because there is, just let them know that it is scarce, that the prices are going up. So be mindful. I did want my team, my staff to be protected. Their safety is the most important thing. If they need it, I'll get it to them. But also be in mind that there is a shortage. So first thing, just talking to everybody about the importance and the scarcity of supplies.
Did things start to, you know, become more balanced for you in that area?
It has. I think over time, the supplies have increased. And so it's more available. Prices went down. but I still wanted to keep track of everything and just tell them the importance of the supplies.
Mm-hmm. Now for yourself, because this has been such a shock to the system. You know, we're all equipped with that fight or flight within ourselves. But what was the first thing in your mind that you think kicked in when it came to survival? Like, okay, this is, you know, you're the firefighter. This is what I have to do. What was one of the first things that came to your mind that you needed to just do immediately?
I think probably the big thing is just managing emotions, managing people's perspectives, perceptions, and then everything follows after that. So just making sure that they're not as nervous or scared, but focus on that what we need to do. I think that's the most important thing. Make sure that the mindset that everybody is working together to accomplish our goals.
Yeah. Well, everyone, we're speaking with Dr. Ryan Estaras, and he has had, just like many of us, you know, great experiences that will be told for years to come about this pandemic and what it has done to us and how it has changed our lives. And so we're excited to also say that as a part of the Akula Foundation, we want to thank Dr. Akula for allowing this platform to go forth and being our sponsor with Cannon Hospice so that we can bring this great information to everyone and really just share experiences that really everyone can relate to. And I'm sure, like as you mentioned, Doctor, that the mental aspect of this probably has been the hardest hit, the biggest impact, I think, through all of this. So when you said managing the emotions of other people, what were some of the things that you put in place that maybe helped help that to be steady for people?
Sure. So one thing I like to do for me personally is I start to have a good morning routine, especially a morning. I don't know if you heard of Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins is a motivational speaker. He has this tool. It's the priming, daily morning priming, and it sets your mindset for the rest of the day. And so I do it for myself, but I introduce this to my team, my staff, to let them know that create that mindset early on, and it'll affect the rest of the day. And so that's one of the first things. There's a lot of different things that we've done, but that's probably one of the big things early on.
Yeah, well, that's really good. And I find that I've heard many people say that they had to figure things out because, you know, not only that, let me ask you, as we move into other adjustments you made, how did it affect you personally? Because we have many doctors I've talked to who were our parents, who were responsible for things at home. So now not only do you have to care for the people in your employment, but now you have to figure out, wait a minute, is my house safe? Or is my family safe? What types of adjustments was that for you? Because you had to bring home some of the things you learned to try to safeguard your home.
Probably the same thing was just a big change, a big adjustment, because we didn't know the virus as well back then. And we're still trying to figure it out, making sure that everybody stay away from the elderly, away from people that have a weak immune system, and just take lots of precautions with just the face mask, gloves, how we do things during the day. So it was adjustments. So we just need to learn. We learn what we're supposed to do, or we should do, and then try to work with what we have, what we know.
Yeah. I'm sure you have been a part of a lot of meetings, especially Zoom meetings.
Lots of meetings. That's the life now.
Yeah, that is the way that things are happening now. And so with all of that, did you have to go to lots of meetings to learn very quickly, I guess, as the information was coming in, what next thing to do, what new thing that was discovered so that you could, you know, step it up another level for yourself and for your colleagues?
Yes, definitely. Stanford has this great online class of learning about COVID for healthcare workers. And I went through that course, and then I also distributed that same online course to the rest of my team, so that way they can learn about it as well. So I think getting that information, but also disseminating that information so they can also use it.
Yeah. So are there changes that were put in place that you think are good changes that you would continue to use?
Yeah, I would say it's probably the Zoom. It's just more efficient. It's a little more easy for people to get onto Zoom versus everybody meeting in the same room, doing that meeting, especially on our interdisciplinary teams where we have everybody from different disciplines being together talking about the patients. But if we have it on more of a Zoom platforms, you don't have to worry about social distancing, and you can do it from anywhere. You don't have to drive. There's a lot of benefits of the virtual online meetings.
Yeah, definitely. Now, for yourself, you said you were on the administrative side, but did you have an experience where you were able to speak one-on-one with some of the patients, and was that done through the telecheck or the telehealth process?
So I did it with Dr. Kula. Dr. Kula has his infectious disease process, and so I've seen his practice change from in person to the virtual computer base. Consultations and meetings. So that was something I have not seen before. So that is new.
Yeah, I think a lot of doctors have really discovered that, and I've also learned from some doctors that it allowed them to get to know the patient in a different setting, in a different way, maybe a little bit more personal, and maybe provide more help that would not have been realized in a clinic setting because of the time factor. And so because of the Zoom, you were able to maybe be in someone's home and sort of get an idea of their surrounding that would either work for or against what was best for them to really thrive in their health. And so I found that was a new discovery that doctors seem to really appreciate.
That might be the future. Future is telemedicine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we watched, I think it was the Jetsons many, many years ago. So that seems to be more lifelike and real in real time, more than ever now. Were there, opportunities for you to get feedback from your staff that, you know, they liked certain things, or this is what is not working and we need to improve? How did that experience go?
So I started to implement weekly meetings. They usually did not have team meetings before I came in. And so it was an adjustment that we're meeting too many times. It's taking too much time another day. But I think meetings are important. My training, they sometimes have meetings every single day when they round with patients. And then we start to have meetings every week on Mondays, sort of like a weekly huddle. That way they can start the week off right. We get to hear from everybody from the top to the top to all the different positions. So everybody could be on the same page. And at that time they can give me feedback. They can tell me what's from their perspective, what works, what doesn't work, and what changes we need to make.
I feel myself that, you know, they compared the 100-year-old pandemic to today, and the game changer without question is technology, because there has not been probably any experience like, you know, then, where there was just information readily available that you could access and that would really help save someone's life, really. So has there been other areas where you learned more technology, or you all put some technology in place to make something happen better?
Mm-hmm. So Zoom for the meetings. Another part is creating an app, using an app, a chat app. We use GroupMe. Some people use Slack. Some people use other platforms, but GroupMe is the most simplest form of communication. It's like group text when you use your phone, but it has a bit more function. You can add people, you can remove people easily, you can send pictures, videos, attachments, documents. And communication was a big thing that they needed help with before I came in. And in creating this chat group, we're able to almost be on the same page. People can know what's been going on with certain things, the care, what's going on with patients. And so that probably was besides Zoom, that was probably the big technology that helped our communication and business overall.
That's great. Well, when you think about all that has happened, what are a couple of other areas that you use to remain resilient or that really help your mental strength?
Sure. So I'm going to talk about my story. So my story is a unique story to get to the medical field, I am probably one of the non-traditional students that's become a medical doctor. So this is a long, long personal story. Sometimes it brings me to a dark place, but I think with sharing these stories can help other people, especially with resilience and persistence. And some people call it grit. Have you heard of something called grit before?
Absolutely. You have to, there's another word. I don't even know if it's a word. It's a sound. You have to have some oomph.
Oomph?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of, yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people call it different things.
Yeah, different things, but definitely grit for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if you've seen the TED Talk with, was it Angela Duckworth? Angela Duckworth had a great TED Talk about grit, when resilience and passion to accomplish long-term goals. Mm-hmm. And she did her research on people in inner city kids who persisted through school, looked through the military, persisted through their training, and they found like a lot of different characteristics in resilience or grit. Resilience plus passion, grit was one of the important characteristics to have to get through tough times. And I think during this, especially this year, it's important to have resilience, that grit to get through these tough times. So when I started medical school, I did fine my first year, but then during my second year, I found I was just extremely tired, and I had no idea why. And everybody thought it was just the stress of medical school. Got some tests. Long story short, I found out that I stopped breathing. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. And so without breathing at night, it really is difficult to concentrate, focus, have energy, or even to memorize. And memorization is so important in medical school. So I didn't do well, even though I was trying to work through that, trying to lose weight, eat right, and then just go through all the rigors of medical school at that time. At that point, I was out of medical school because of the condition, my condition. And there was a little chance of me getting back into medical school. I talked to my dean at the time. He says, like, you have a small chance, but this is what I wanted to do. This is my purpose. This is what gives me meaning. So I wanted to try. I wanted to
give it your
do
all.
Everything I can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after I was out of school, I worked on my health, worked on eating correctly, exercise. At the time, I was about 210 pounds, lost 40 pounds since at that time to get myself in better health. Use sleep hygiene, make sure I'm sleeping adequately, since that's one of the problems with sleep apnea. Exercising, I started with running 5Ks and then 10Ks, half marathons, then triathlons. And so I wanted to improve my health more than it ever had. So that's one part. I met with my doctors, met with a new doctor, new primary care doctor, a pulmonologist who's also a sleep specialist, also met with a dentist who's also a sleep specialist, made a mouthpiece for me so I can breathe better. And with that, I felt the best ever felt my entire life. Like I couldn't believe this is, until that point, like this is how normal people felt. And it was just life changing at that point. Like I just got so much better rested, I recovered better, and I just kept on improving. My mind was better, focus, memory, just everything was better. And that was probably the start. So I did work on my health, worked on improving my health even better than it ever has. I worked on my academics to show that I can do the academic work. I got into to school for the healthcare management classes, and so I did very well. Had a 4.0 in getting a master's of healthcare management. Also wanted to show that I can do the science work, so I went to a another program where infectious disease fellows took at Tulane, and I did very well in that class as well. And even that during that time, I also became a teacher. I was an instructor at Herzing, and I didn't know what was going to happen at the time, but I wanted to prepare for my future. So teaching science classes can help me with strengthen my science background. But if it doesn't work out, I can still always teach. So after showing that I've worked on my health, that I've got the education, that I can do the academic work, and that I improved my health even more by doing marathons and triathlons, went back to my school and to the admissions committee, and they unanimously brought me back into medical school, back into the second year. So even though with that little chance, I had that opportunity to come back. And obviously now I'm a medical doctor, graduated, but it wasn't easy. And it is persistence, it is the resilience. And some tips, advice that I think from my experience, and going over some of the research of resilience, I have three things. There's three things that I've learned that can create that resilience. I think people could help use it during this time, this year of COVID, or even afterwards. I'm sure resilience, grit can help others in the future. So the first thing I could talk about is mindset. Make sure that you have an optimistic view. And I think I'm an optimistic person. One of the strongest characteristics of resilience is being grateful, or gratitude. If you're grateful for what you have, it creates that mindset of just keep on, that your life right now, your situation isn't as bad as it could be, or there's other things that could happen. And that helps people to persist, to be resilient, to think more positive of what they could do in the future. So that's probably the first thing, having that mindset of optimism and gratitude. Mm-hmm. The other part is, the second would be planning. Planning is so important. Having a vision of where you want to be, and that kind of drives you, that pushes you to help you reach your goal. And might be a little bit more obsessive when I do my schedule and planning, but I think it helped. Get to reach my goals. One thing I learned when I was a teacher, like what makes really good teachers versus people or other teachers, not so good teachers, are the ability to plan and vision the next day when you're teaching. If you can plan of what is going to happen, you can see it in your mind, you're more likely to be more successful and do that for that class on the next day. Mm-hmm. And you can apply it to all parts of your life. Just plan and mentally see what you want to do in the future.
Yeah, I like that. And so are you a big believer in vision boarding?
I am. I don't use a vision board. I do write things down, though. I write down, like, what are the goals that I want, and then you can see it. It's sort of maybe have you heard of the reticular activating system? It kind of, it's part of you that gives you more focus. And so by writing it down, it makes it a little bit more concrete into your life.
Yes, I have learned that. That's wonderful. So, and then you have another, or was that?
And the third one, I think, is probably the most important one. Well, all of them are important, but the third is to build your team. Mm-hmm. Build a supportive group of people around you, friends, family, or mentors. Mentors is also important. They're the ones who can help, who've been there before, and they can help you get to where you want to go faster versus the trial and error. So having that community, having that support, your team, your mentors, the support system is crucial. So first is having that optimistic attitude, being grateful, gratitude. Mm-hmm. Second is being able to plan, have a vision for what you want to do, and then building your team, building your community, having your mentors to support you.
Well, I think that is fantastic, and I'm sure you probably have a few more to add to those, but they are very, very good, because it's so true. And I think that has been discovered probably more so during these months, when you mentioned having those three, you definitely learn about being grateful and having gratitude, especially at the loss of life, at the rate that that happened and has happened in the past number of months. I think people have seen, like never before, how fast you can lose someone that you care about, without even having an opportunity maybe to say, I love you, or just being able to share something that maybe you thought, oh, I'll wait until later, or I'll wait until next week or tomorrow. So you really do value time. And so being grateful for every moment, every opportunity that you have to live and exist is really a great asset and a great part of being resilient, because it helps you to appreciate, I think, living in the moment and not really focusing so much on what is not working, but what is working. And so I really appreciate that. And then you, the next one you said was having...
being able to plan or having a vision of what you want to do.
Yes. And so, yeah, I am one of those that could fall in the procrastination category. So I understand about planning. It really is important, because you really get to know everything that you have to do. And at least you have an idea, because the plan is there. So if you don't get to do it, you can definitely address it, you know, the next time around. But I love the last one, especially because I think what the pandemic has taught many people is appreciating each other. And many people who have had these mental attacks, I think, and the stress that has happened to the mental stability to everyone has just been tremendous. And I know that it's just been a lot for people to have to learn very quickly that they need other people. So I've asked people before, have you set something in place where people have had to be able to use as a resource because the mental stress was so great, as well as having other people to go to?
So the Akula Foundation has something that helps with that. We have Zoom, counseling sessions, grief support groups. So check that out. I don't know, maybe you can put a link in the description or a link for all the different times that Dr. Matthews is one of our people help with that, those counseling sessions to help with either just dealing with death, dealing with COVID, or any other parts where they could use some, you can get some help. So definitely check that out. There's it's a different time, so we'll have that somewhere. But that is a support system that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll definitely have the link to that below. All of this, as people are watching, they can definitely click on the link, or they can take the information and make calls and join in. Because I did remember that, yes, there are Zoom meetings. And so that's definitely a great resource for people to be able to reach out to someone and just know that they're not alone in all of this. And so you mentioned the having people, and I think another word that comes to mind is accountability. It helps you have someone who can help you stay on track. When you mention all that you overcame, my goodness, that is tremendous. I'm sure having family and friends or people who could help you remember why you were doing what you were doing, your why to why everything was happening, made a big difference in your life. So do you have someone or people that were some of your inner circle accountability partners?
Absolutely. Definitely my family, my friends, my own mentors. And I have more than one mentor. I think it's important to have mentors in all aspects of your life. And so that's just an additional part of your team. And the same thing, I've been very fortunate to have great mentors, great people for me. And there are people that I'm around, my team, and anybody else who's listening, if they want to reach out, if you need somebody, I've been fortunate to have great mentors, great people, and if you guys need any type of support, you can reach out to me and I'll help out as best as I can as well. One other show is that we talked about make things meaningful, and that's one of our slogans. I don't know if you can see my shirt. It says, it's making every moment meaningful. That's our slogan. And during this time, I think it's important to find meaning in everything that you do. Mm-hmm.
Have you fully recovered from sleep apnea now that all of these adjustments and changes in your lifestyle have happened? Is that something that you continue to have to address, or is it fully gone away?
So this is something where I told my school, like, it's just like any type of disease. if somebody has heart disease or diabetes or any other disease, like you can't guarantee that we'll never come back. But you can try to do everything that you can. You can do everything that you can to prevent it, or even just to make it better. Because there are going to be times where people are going to slip. Some people are going to have just life happens, and then just being able to come back and just try again. People are going to fall, but you just got to get back up and just keep on trying.
Yeah.
So But for the most part, I am so much better than I've had before, knowing I had sleep apnea. So I like to say I'm the best ever version of myself, and I think I'm just going to keep on improving. I think there's more for me. So for me, when I graduate from medical school, I still have things that life happens because of things in the past, which has not let me reach my ultimate goal. I still want to be a practicing physician. You still have to be, you have to go through residency. I'm still looking for, in the process for my residency, but I had the fortunate opportunity to work with Dr. Kula, be the administrator, somehow administrator for the New Orleans office, the Covington office, and we're doing amazing things. We're doing, outlook is in a good direction. So I'm just making this moment, trying to have moments in what I'm doing now. I'm very grateful for this opportunity, using my skills that I've had to put into practice, especially the business administrative management leadership side. But there's still more for me, where I'm trying to reach my goal to be a practicing physician. That's still coming. Working on more parts of my health. I've been doing more CrossFit, and so CrossFit's another exercise or health goal that I'm working towards.
That's challenging. CrossFit. Yes. That's a little bit more involved than just.
It is a little bit more involved. Exercise. But it's enjoyable. I love it. So.
Yeah. So were you very active as a young child?
Probably wasn't. I was probably more of the kid that studies a lot. So I wasn't as active. I did play some sports, baseball, soccer, a little football, but I was more of the book type of person.
Bookworm.
Yeah.
And then you did.
But now I'm being more active. It's yeah. Weird. I'm being more active now than I was when I was a kid.
So has that surprised you in your years, just to see how much you've accomplished and done in the physical aspect of your improvement?
Yeah, I think if I never had that issue, I probably would have never done a marathon. All those, like, I've probably done like a dozen half marathons already. Done 3 marathons, 3 triathlons. I was working towards an Ironman, and I've never thought I was going to do CrossFit, and maybe one day I'll be able to compete in some parts of the CrossFit games. I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing now, as being leading 2 locations. And there's I do find the good things and things that happen, because if I just kept on doing what I wanted to do, just went straight through, I would never had the experiences I had. I've never met the friends. The organizations, the community, the people that I've met through my journey. And so maybe there is a reason for where your journey takes you. And so I'm very thankful for things that happen. Maybe there is a plan.
Well, I believe so, especially when it comes out to be positive and you get to touch so many lives and meet people, like you said, who influence you in a positive way, and then you get to do that to other people. So I can't see a reason why there's not something purposeful in it, because just like we have rain, you know, we wouldn't appreciate the sunshine without knowing that the rain does stop sometimes. And so we know that, and we've seen enough hurricanes almost coming this way to know that there is definitely a brighter side when we know that bad experiences, you know, happen. So I am thrilled that we've gotten to learn, you know, so much about where your path has led you, and that you represent well what it means to never give up. And so did you have a particular moment in your life that was very, very low that you just didn't think you would come from, and you found a way, or you tapped into your accountability partners to say, hey, listen, this is a big one. I need you to help me.
Definitely. I think when I found out that I was not going to be in medical school anymore, that was the lowest point of my life. That was probably the dark place where I lost my dream. I lost what I was supposed to do. I was the most unhealthiest at that point. I just couldn't think straight. I couldn't, it just affects all parts of my body and my life, my career. And I had my support, I had my family, but I think it's that mindset where I just want to give it a try. Just try to do what you want to do. Just give it your all. Make that moment meaningful. And hopefully, like my story, like I mentioned, like there was a point in my life where it's hard for me to tell these stories because it brings back those same emotions of other things that happen. But maybe like sharing my story can help others with their health goals. And maybe help inspire them to achieve their health goals or life goals or any other goals that they have.
What is your number one health tip? What is it that you absolutely must do to maintain the level that you've achieved?
Wow, that's a tough one. I don't think it's just one. I think there's many. Definitely diet. That's probably one of the most important thing is make sure you have a good diet, exercise. There was like three things when I went back when I talked about health is make sure that diet, make sure you do your cardio, and then also like weightlifting. Make sure you have strength training. For those are just the three tripod of health, but I'm sure there's more. I really think it's probably more mindset.
Oh, absolutely. So now are you a big advocate of drinking water?
Absolutely. You drink lots of water. Make sure that you're well hydrated. That's important. you don't want to be dehydrated. It's gonna affect other things. So water, I think the recommendation is 8 glasses of water each day.
Half your body weight or something in ounces. There's a few rules out there, so I'm not sure. But I think 8 glasses a day has been the one that has been out there the longest that maybe more people may be familiar with. But yeah, I often share with people that our bodies are, what, is it 70% water?
It's a lot of percentage water.
Yeah, it's a big percentage of water. So we really need it to continue the flow so everything can keep functioning the way that it does. And so, yeah, that's really important. Well, I am happy for you, and really, it's amazing all the things that you have accomplished. And so sometimes it's interesting when you have a setback and time seems to stop. And then when you have this catalyst that allows you to excel, it almost makes it seem as though that time really didn't seem as long as it was, wasn't as bad as it was, even though it was difficult. But you make up for the lost time with all that you've done and the accomplishments. And so it definitely is inspiring to everyone, to me as well, just to know that you can pursue dreams and goals and you can make it. You will have some bumps along the way, but it does not mean that it doesn't, that it won't happen. It just means that you have to push a little harder. So we appreciate that you continue to fight, and you have so many letters after your name, and here there's room for more. So that is
No comment. I don't know. Whatever happens. Like it's.
Well, at least you're not stopping. That's the point.
And growing. I think somebody mentioned, maybe it's Tony Robbins, who says like, if you're not growing, you're dying in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you learn nothing else except, even if you learn how to plant something, that's, if you didn't have a green thumb, I mean, there's always a reason to learn if you're alive. So I think that is definitely a reason to keep going. And so you have done a lot. And I think there's definitely always room for more because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so there is a lot that is about the human being that has been given to us to accomplish. So we are thankful to you, Dr. Ryan Estaris, and for all of the hats that you wear and all of the shoes that you wear to run. And we thank you for sharing your story. And now, do you have final words? What do you think the future of our city, our world is as post-pandemic seems to be arriving? Are you hopeful about a vaccine?
So I like to be optimistic. I think that's my character, is that it's always think the good things. Plan for the worst, but have an optimistic outlook. Just like any other diseases where there are some vaccines. For the outlook of New Orleans and our country, I like to say that, like anything, any type of setback, there is going to be a positive that comes out of it, and there's many positives that we learned through this pandemic, and maybe we'll become stronger, better when we get through this thing.
Yeah, well, I think resilient is definitely a word that we can apply to New Orleans. Even definitely. Before the pandemic. So
New we've been through, definitely resilient.
Oh yeah, we've been through so much. And so you're originally not from New Orleans, am I correct?
I like to say I grew up in New Orleans. I mean, I was born in Texas, but I lived here since I was five, moved from other different places, but I like to say that I grew up in New Orleans. I've been here for maybe like 33 something years already.
That counts, definitely. So without a doubt, well, you are definitely a New Orleanian. And so we are proud to have someone else representing us well around the world. And so that everyone can know just why we are so special, because we have special people like yourselves who continue to take care of, people and value life and really, input great value systems into people and places. So again, everyone, Dr. Ryan Estaris, and we thank you so much for your time. We are thankful also to Dr. Akula, the Akula Foundation, Cannon Hospice, and all that you all do in the community and representing well what it means to make life better and to make everything and every day count. So we appreciate you, and everyone, thanks for listening to another Focus podcast. And until the next time, stay focused. I'm Singing Lisa. Thanks for listening to the Focus Podcast, where we inspire, motivate, empower, and impact. Be sure and check out the show notes in the description on how to learn more about my guest today and connect with them. Also, subscribe and leave a comment. You can listen to the Focus Podcast on your favorite platforms, including Spotify, Google Podcast, iHeart, iTunes, and Radio Public. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, stay focused.